This morning's lesson, I've taught Sunday school too long. This morning's sermon is not about tithing. It's not about giving. It's not even about, God help me, the cooperative program. It's not about any of those things. It is about living as God wants you to live. I'll have to find it. Like most preachers, I use my Bible for my sample case and I put everything in the Bible, so I have to go through and find what it is. Sometimes I get so much stuff in there. I preached a funeral not too long ago, and I had a poem, and it disappeared, and I couldn't find it. And that was really embarrassing, because I don't ad lib funerals. I might ad lib a funeral a little bit, but I don't usually ad lib weddings at all. You want to be sure that you get to everything said as you want to say it in weddings. But what this has to do this morning is being sure that you're living richly with Christ, with God. And the main thing is it says self-explanatory. It says someone in the crowd said, and this is in Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told him about this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Now, just a moment, we'll stop there and consider what various things that he might have thought about doing. He might have thought, "I'll leave part of my crop standing." This was not an unheard of thing, and let the poor glean from the standing crops. You know, the story of Ruth and Boaz remembers this. When she Boaz told his harvester, he said, "Leave." I noticed this girl Ruth, and I want you to leave some grain for her. So he could have left some standing grain. He could have gathered all the grain and sold the grain, or he could have gathered the grain and put it in bags and distributed it to the various poor families. Because there were very few, there's no government program at that time. There are very few places that they took care of the poor. He could have done that. Or he could have sold all the grain and took the money and had the doggonest party you ever saw. He could have had a big wing ding for everybody in the district, let them come out and eat for two or three days. But he didn't do any of those things. It says in the 16th verse and the 18th verse, it says, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will gather and store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat and drink and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God.'" When I was a boy, we didn't eat out much, my family, but I ate out with my aunt and uncle, and we ate in the kind of restaurant, you'd probably call it a diner now. We were in the kind of restaurants that they would nearly always have stools and a counter and a few booths and probably no tables at all. But in those days, the coffee cream was put out in little ceramic pitchers that was on every table if you ordered coffee. And my uncle, he would always pour, they had just little bitty pitchers, little bitty ceramic pitchers with a spout on them, and he would put two drops. I asked him one time, I had the temerity to ask him one time, I said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Can't taste that, can you?" He said, "Well, I think I can." But he would put two drops in every time. But if you didn't do that, then the waitress would come around with a pitcher, and she would pour it in herself. She'd say, "Milk," and of course you'd say, "Yeah," and she would invariably say "When." If you go to someplace as a guest, and the hostess pours milk or tea, and you want cream in it, they usually pour it in and say "When." Say when means when is enough. You know, two drops was sufficient for him. Some people took a lot more than that. But the point of it is, you would need to say when. This fellow had no idea about saying when. This rich farmer, rich man, had no idea. Obviously, he wasn't a regular follower of God, because he would have. He never gave it a thought about any when. It was always more. It's been said that there's no sin in being. There's no sin in being having a good crop. There's no sin in being rich. Let me say that to start. There's no sin, and Jesus did not tell us about the sinful farmer being rich. That was not the point. In fact, it's been said that God must have loved the poor people because he made so many of them. That's been attributed to Abraham Lincoln, but according to everything I have found, that's actually not what he said. Somebody said it. God must have loved the poor people. He made so many of them. There are some of the poor, some of the rich. You know, there's only so much money to go around in any. That's one of the things that I learned when I went to college, was that if you have more than your share of money, that means that you've got somebody else's share too. At one time, Colorado, for instance, around the turn of the 18th century, in this country, many of the farms and ranches in Colorado were owned by English people. The reason wasn't because that nobody wanted them, it was because that there wasn't anybody in America that had that much money. They had that much gold. There's only so much to go around. That's not the point at all. God, in the first place, owns it all. And if you want to literally see that, in Job, the 41st chapter and the 11th verse, it says, God tells Job, it's all mine. It never was yours to start with. It's all mine. God owns it all. We're all users. We're all renters. We're all sojourners. We're all overseers. We're all borrowers. Have things that are God's. You know, no matter how hard you work, God may bless you and you may come out with a good crop, but as a matter of fact, it's all God's anyway. Abraham Lincoln said, put not your trust in money, but put your money in trust. We're all ordered to be good stewards, good overseers. You know, I remember that story about an old Texas rancher who had a very large ranch, and somebody said, what do you want, all the land there is in the world? And he said, well, no, I don't want all the land there is in the world. I just want the land that's next to mine. And I'm afraid that's the attitude that some of us take. I just want that that's next to mine. Of course, that's a never-ending. If any hadn't figured it out, of course, the land that's next to mine, then when you get that, then somebody else's land is next to yours. It goes on and on and on. There is never enough. Saying when is not an object at all. You know, God wants us to be good stewards. There's an old story that I sometimes tell back around probably 1905, I suppose. My mother's brother, actually they're brothers, they were twins. They were about 3 years old in 1905. And at that time, they brought coffee home from the grocery store in sacks of beans. You know, you can still buy coffee beans in some places. In fact, I've still got that old coffee grinder on a shelf in my house, and you poured the beans in and you ground it up, and it was fresh ground coffee. And Kroger's in some places still have fresh ground coffee today. But in those days, you went to work, to school, to town rather, to the store probably once a week, if then. But so Grandma went to the store, and she brought home a sack of coffee beans. And the coffee company, I don't remember what company it was, but it put a little piece of candy in each sack as a treat for the kids. And so she took that piece of candy, and actually she broke it in half and gave half to Glenn and half to Gail, and went on about her business. Well, Gail thought how great it would be to get more candy. And so when she wasn't looking, he stuck his little hand in he was the same age that my great-grandson is. He stuck his little hand in that sack of coffee beans, and she turned around about then, and he saw her looking at him or coming, and he quickly grabbed whatever there was and threw it in his mouth, and it wasn't candy. It was coffee beans. And the dust of it caused Gail to develop pneumonia, and he lived 3 days and died. My grandfather, I've heard him tell the story many times about Gail dying, and they were poor. I mean, they were really, really poor. They were poorer than anybody here. And he went out to the barn that morning after Gail's death. He said he went out leaving his his wife was sewing the little dress to bury the boy in, and he went out to the barn wondering what in the world was he going to do for money to for a burial. There was no money for a funeral. Now, you know, I believe in those days, and probably some of our ancestors, I think the ranchers and the farmers, I think that the thing that kept them from losing their minds is that every day they had chores to do. Every day you had to go out and milk the cows. There was no doubt. Somebody had to milk the cows. Every day you had to feed and slop the hogs. Every day you had to gather the eggs for the chickens. Every day you had chores to do. So he went out to the barn, as he did every morning, to do his chores. When he got out to the barn, my mother used to call him Old Man Kent was there. He was a neighbor, a farmer down the road. And Old Man Kent was there waiting for him. He didn't come to the house. He knew sooner or later he'd come to the barn. And when Grandpa said it was a cold, frosty morning, and of course it was barely daylight, and they didn't sleep well that anyway. And when he got to the barn, there was Old Man Kent. And he said, "Here, Charlie, I know you've had a hard time, and I want to help you out. I know that you're good for this, and I want to help you through difficult times." And he handed him a signed blank check. Now, that story has gone down in my family. I'm the only one still left alive to tell it, but I'm still telling it about Mr. Kent and the signed blank check. God wants us to use our money to help others and to do the things that we think are the right things to do. In Matthew 25:35, Jesus said, "For I was poor, and you clothed me. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." I heard the story about a long time ago about a man who later became a bishop of the church called St. Martin of Tours. But he was a soldier at one time, and he talked about how he came home from on a furlough from, and he came to this crossroads. It was a cold, blustery, rainy day, and there was a beggar at this crossroads asking for money. And Martin had no money, and he told the beggar, he said, "I don't have any money, but such as I have, I'll give you." And he took off his cloak, his heavy armory cloak, and he took his sword and he cut it in half and gave the old man in half of that cloak. And he said, he went on about his journey, and he said, but that night he had a dream in which Jesus and all of his disciples were in a room. And Jesus was wearing this old cloak, and somebody said to him, "Where did you get that?" And Jesus said, "My servant, the Martin of Tours, gave it to me." We often meet Jesus himself, angels, unawares, all the time. We need to use our means to help others. We need to ask God, and this fellow here obviously didn't have a close relationship with God. If you have a close relationship with God, you shouldn't have to ask, "What should I do with the money?" But he didn't even stop and ask, "What should I do with this grain? You know, this I've been blessed beyond all comprehension. My barns are full." And instead of that, he didn't do that. He said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns. That is, I'll spend more money. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And then I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" You need to ask God when is enough. You know, most of us are that way about, you know, I'm in my billfold, you know, it's the hardest thing, and I don't want to recognize sometimes that this money is not mine. You know, I always want another dollar. What am I the happiness? Well, if I had another dollar, I'd be happy. And of course, if I get that, then if I had another dollar, I'd be happy. Many of us do that. Jesus said, man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Ask God when is enough. Will people take advantage? Yes, sometimes they will. There are people in this world, and every church has some, who take advantage. I remember a movie called Vantage Point. It starred William Hurt and Dennis Quaid, and I thought it was a great movie because it showed an assassination somewhere in the Eastern world. A president was shot, and it showed it happen, and then it showed about six or seven different viewpoints of people, so that you come to find out that what you thought had happened the first time didn't happen at all. It had changed each time. And I think so many times our view, our vantage point is entirely all wrong. We need to ask God. You know, Adrian Rogers, who was for many years, Dr. Adrian Rogers, was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Memphis. And he said one time, I don't remember the occasion, but a woman who obviously of fairly poor means joined the church, and she let him know that she wanted to, she needed to make an appointment to visit him. And he said, I immediately knew right away what she wanted. He said, I figured she wanted something, some help of some kind, some money or something that the church needed to do. It was a rather large church. But he said, when she came in to visit him, she said, you know, I'm not very well-to-do. I can't give a whole lot. But she said, I wonder if there isn't some small service. She said, perhaps Wednesday night suppers, I could wash the dishes. And he said, for years, this woman regularly washed the dishes for the Wednesday night suppers. Things, a lot of times, our vantage point is all wrong. God is the final judge of when is enough. Jesus says, but this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. You know, I think our minds and our hearts need to be open to see what God wants us to do with these things. R.G. Letourneau was a Texas man, and one time, you know, Letourneau made earth-moving machines. You know, I don't really see them anymore or not, but you used to see the Euclids all the time on the road-building projects. But R.G. Letourneau was an East Texas boy. He lived on 10% and gave 90% of his money away, of his income away. I'm not suggesting that you need to do likewise, or that you can do likewise, that you need to live on 10%. You probably can't. I'm not suggesting. It's not my place to say when is enough for anybody. Would you be aggravated if the waitress was pouring coffee in your cup and somebody else said when? It's up to you to say when. There's a movie that I've got it on cassette and somewhere in my house. It's an old Joel McRae movie where, I don't know if anybody remembers Joel McRae, the movie actor, or not, but he played this one movie where he was a gunman turned preacher. And in fact, his first sermon in the movie was in a tavern, and he took his guns out and laid them on the bar and began to preach. But one of the things, it was a fairly small church, I gather, but one of the things that he insisted on every Sunday morning is, will there be any stars in my crown? And his wife would say, you're singing that song too much. And one time she even talked to the music leader, but she said, don't you sing that song. And it shows her, and she had one of the kids was sick, and she was staying home, but their window was open in the parsonage, and she could hear the church next door, and they were singing, will there be any stars in my crown? I'd like to have that sung at my funeral. It goes like this. I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down. When I wake with the blessed and those mansions of rest, will there be any stars in my crown? This morning, God is not going to reward us for what we have. God is going to reward us for what we do with what we have. Someone said Seneca, the Latin philosopher, said many, many years ago that the person is not poor who doesn't have much money. The person who's poor who wants more. This morning, I want us to turn our lives over to Jesus Christ and let him tell us when is enough in our lives, and when, for as money or financial things, for as many other things, or possessions we have, that God needs to say when is enough. This morning, I appreciate your being here. I hope my words will not fall on deaf ears. If there's one here this morning that has not accepted Jesus Christ, you know, I hesitate to end any service without offering the chance for you to accept Jesus Christ and say, I want to know the relationship to God. I want to know when is enough. And so this morning, I want to open the doors of this church to anyone who is here who is not a Christian. Being a Christian is not wonderful. It's not magic. It's just simply saying, I believe, as we did this morning with the taking of the bread and the wine this morning, that we can say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he died for our sins. I believe that Jesus gave us the true answer of when is enough. He did not gather, he did not spend, not spare us anything. So if you'd like to stand this morning, and we'll have a song of invitation this morning.